March 1st, 2011. It's Watt from Bebro Show.
Oh. I am watching Colonel Gaddafi tonight. Why is it he reminds me of Keith Richards? I wish he wasn't a killer and should have sat in his tent in the right spot that time. He was an outcast at the UN. I know the feeling at a poetry reading, but they don't walk out because we are correct. Fat, happy, and correct. So we won't revolt. Only stare out the window at the latte shop, numbed in Woodstock. Beatle music in the air. They want guns in Texas. Maybe it will start there. But we haven't been robbed enough. Not yet. Every product we touch lines the pocket of the Aryan Brotherhood. They own us. Soft fascism works so much better with stupid tribes in the boonies who raise the tattered flag on their pickups and pretend they are warriors, like in Afghanistan, proud of their guns, like in Pakistan. Make stupid Americans pay for all the arms. We won't rebel in Wisconsin. Soft fascism is the better way. We can bust the unions and have our say about what women do with their bodies. The Aryan Brotherhood fires union guards and puts in the ones they like. Blowing vodka out their asses in Afghanistan. Murdering people in the name of war. It's all about them getting elected anyway. Very easy with propaganda and soft fascism. Almost democratic on the face of it. Always works. With a weak leader and money spread in the right places. An ignorant country anyway, numbed by Prussian education from cradle to the grave, while geriatrics listen to the Beatles. Those boys in chemicals and oil saw how easy it is long ago when they said Ike was a commie and laid low, while everything we touch enriches them. Not so with the Arab states. They are educated and starved. Not bought off with carry-out fat, soft fascism, and soft ice cream. Oh, Americans.
What from Pedro Show? Hurt, what?
Wounded.
Delor, Itai, Uday again. I started off the show with John Coltrane doing Doxy. And then we heard Charlie Plymell reading his poem, Soft Fascism. Which, I'm not feeling the soft now.
I got the hard fascism. Victim of gravity.
Hard on the... It's above my elbow, below my shoulder, and on the tricep, so like the bottom of your arm. It's just...
That thing's thick. It's as thick as my thigh.
And man, it's hurt. What happened was, this is the same limb that got dislocated at that Perk and Brother Wayne Kramer gig. And I was filming some kind of movie for an art performance. It's going to sometime downtown in May. But they had me film for 2 days. Some 17th century story written in Germany about trained musicians, you know, versus street guys. And well, the translation was so bad, I don't know if anybody will get that. Maybe they'll do a rewrite, I kept saying, for that. But there's this one thing in the closing scenes. I'm kind of on a hill. Is it Mount Washington, U.S. area?
Oh, yeah.
by
past Dodger Stadium, back.
Yeah, side. Right, Glassell Park, and there's Big Hill, and mm-hmm. yeah. What happened was I took my hat off. There was some line about, "Hey, I wear a green ribbon for you, Keita," you know, because I heard green's your favorite color, and you have three dresses that are green. So when I took off the hat and looked at it, I lost my balance. And whoa, oh, back I go, and I land right on the hurt Buccaneer.
Damn. I know. So you got it all on camera.
Well, they did. They filmed it, yeah. Maybe I fell out of frame. I wasn't going to do another take, though. Shit, and it came on me right away, and I had to finish a few more scenes of shooting. I was like, whoa! But I did it. What was my character's name was Peckman, but inside the movie, I was, or the play within a play, Vashablide. Yeah. So, I don't know, it's called The Inquisitive Musician or something. There'll be more on it. When it's, I think our guests are here. Is that right, Brother Matt?
Well, not the guest, but a guest.
Okay. Great. Yes, we're expecting the guest.
This is Ed.
Hey, Ed.
From Sunken City.
Respect. That was great Saturday night. Were you there at Sunken City?
Oh, he's at the real Sunken City.
Oh, he ain't at Sunken City Skates. I did a gig at the skate shop. No, you can talk. You can sit right there. Yeah, well, I played a gig Saturday. I guess Brother Matt came earlier.
Yeah, I was there for the movie.
Right.
And the big freeze, and I got there later for the post-cop.
Yeah, because the cops came.
Yeah, pre-cop or post-cop.
Yeah, luckily we played and I got out of there. It was cold for Pedro. Maybe that's her guess. Or other guess. And played with the second man. I mean, it was kind of a tough gig, even with my arm a little more healed. But, man, now I'm... I did practice today with... hey, Chris. Hey. Now, here's a guest. He came aboard. Yeah. Chris Candy's going to join us today. Great to see you. Oh, man. Yeah. There's your mic.
Okay.
This is Ed from Sunken City.
Hey, Ed. How are you?
Quite well, sir.
Good. Good. All right.
How far you drive, Chris?
I came 35 minutes. 35 minutes.
35 minutes?
35 minutes from Santa Monica.
Santa Monica, that's pretty good.
That was traffic.
We lose our guest? Okay, bye, Ed.
That was Santa Monica probably talking.
Okay. 35 minutes is quick from Pedro.
Yeah, you got the express route.
Yeah, even at nighttime when I'm doing a gig with Perk there, where I popped the elbow out. What's it called now? It's not 14
some
below.
Kind Central. Of social club or something?
Central Social Club.
Social Club. It's a trippy name.
It's longer than that, though. That's even abbreviated. It's like still social.
Well, it seems like everything nowadays. Pleasure. It has like everything has supper, social, pleasure club involved in it. The
same old basement.
It's the same basement.
Same path.
Right, right. Yeah.
Right, right. And, yeah, thanks for making the drive. Cause,
oh, yeah.
Man, this is at 3.5 bells. That could be Plug City.
LA's so weird. It's earlier in the week when you're putting around town, it's not as bad, but you can't tell. There's
Wednesday
no,
to Friday.
There's no system. Yeah,
it gets to be nice big windows of opportunity.
Yeah,
no more.
You can't
so
figure
random.
Out.
Yeah, totally random.
Yeah, because some of them are addled by wrecks. Some of it is just plug.
Yeah,
I guess there was Oscars, so that was plug. They shut down.
They shut down streets.
Yeah,
yeah.
They get wild there.
Okay, so Santa Monica. So it's kind of like Pedro. It's a water town.
Yeah, it's got no character, though.
Okay.
Well, it's a good town.
Because you've been here a few times. You played at Harold's.
Yeah, many times.
Yeah, yeah.
Pedro's great. And I don't mean to discredit the fine people of Santa Monica. It's got a lot of... I've got my whole thing with Santa Monica. It's a great place. But yeah, I've been to Pedro many times. I love it down here. I have a lot of friends that live out here.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I have a friend who lives right down the street, actually, which is pretty nice. I've been out this way. Yeah, at the big white complex
there. Been on the
there.
Pleasure Point.
Yeah, the cul-de-sac.
Right there. My friend
Tito. It always looks like something. I heard somebody lives there, and it always seems like there's cool people coming and going. So.
Yeah. It's a really neat spot. My friend Tito works there. I worked for him, and he's a punk rocker. He knows all the Recess guys. And
oh, yeah.
He's a...
See, that they didn't get to play. Ty didn't get to play.
No, because
Hombre.
The cops showed.
Yeah.
I was at the game.
And it was...
It was a great gig.
Yeah, you were there. I saw you.
Yeah.
But some kids were drinking outside and stuff, and that was a problem.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I was talking about it with a coworker of mine the other day.
Yeah.
And I've recently come into a new music scene, where like the electronic music world, and they throw parties all around town.
Yeah.
And they put on the flyers, like, if you're coming, run inside, you know, don't linger, don't loiter outside. And I said, the punks never do that.
No.
We all like to chill outside.
In fact, there's times when they went in there, but a lot of times there was more people outside than inside.
yeah, the parking lot.
That whole alley was,
It was warm.
It was so freezing, man. It was cold.
And building sculptures with the empties. I mean, you know, I had to park two blocks away on 6th Street.
Yeah, I saw
so, it. Yeah, they started building the empty bottle sculptures on my amplifiers. They came back and they had all little, you know, Ramesses the second.
Yeah, it's...
Little trim. So, of course, you do music. That's why maybe the first time you were in Pedro was to go play?
Yeah.
So tell us about your band.
I started... I've been in a band, still am in it, called Choto Ghetto.
Yeah.
And it started out as like just like a hardcore band. A friend of mine wanted me to put a band together, and I wanted to do it, and I'd never done a band like it. And then...
Santa Monica Cats?
Long Beach. Two Long Beach. Well, at the time, it was all over, but it's...
Okay.
Right now, it's Two Long Beach, and one of the original guys is a Long Beach guy, and Detroit, actually.
Wow, that's a drive for Prague.
But you live in Hollywood
now.
Yeah, okay.
Southeast Detroit.
Yeah.
Southwest Detroit.
He's the tough influence in the band. But he's a good guy. And so we started 5 years ago and in college. And 5 years ago it's been going on. It's great. It's the most fun I've ever had. And it's the best project.
Well, I played some on the show.
I remember.
I like it a lot.
Thank you.
Where'd you get the name?
Choto Ghetto. Choto's Japanese, and it means a little bit.
Little.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And so, my really good friend and my roommate right now, he's a Japanese guy. You've met him. He's a photographer.
Oh, yeah.
Hiro. And Hiro, he was my first touring buddy. And so before I was in the band, I would...
You toured before you were in a band?
Yeah.
Wow.
I toured a lot before I was in a band. Most of my first tour ever...
Yeah.
It was right out of high school, and I worked for my friend Mike Park.
Oh, you were helping a band?
I was actually not even working for a band. I was working for a nonprofit called Plea for Peace. This company called Plea for Peace Foundation.
So you'd like put up a table at the gigs?
Yeah, So I did that for him, and he was kind of my, he's the punk rock godfather for me. You know, he kind of got me in the whole scene.
Mentor.
He's the mentor. And nonetheless, he had this friend Hiro when he did the Plea for Peace tours. He used to do it with Lewis from Hopeless. They did tours together. And they got a bunch of bands together and raised money for various causes. And Hiro worked for this band called Selby Tigers. And they were out of Minnesota. They're not together anymore, but they're a great band. And I remember meeting him. I saw him. I set up after school at a show.
Yeah.
And he was there, and he's this super animated guy. And he mixes his words when he talks. So he speaks, you know, Deutsch, he speaks Spanish, he speaks, English, Japanese, French. So he'll throw in words throughout the whole sentence. You've never met anyone like him. And, you know, the only way I can explain it is you just have to meet the guy. His name's Hiro Tanaka.
I've met him.
He's got a big handshake.
Yeah, he's cool people.
And anyway, so we would go
He's originally Minnesota?
No, originally Japan. He's from Tokyo.
Okay.
And,
but then got to Minnesota somehow?
Yeah, he's the
Golden Gophers school?
No, he's the most interesting guy I know. He just would risk it. He would just go.
Just go.
I don't know where he gets his funds from, but he just made the trips. And he would do it, and he'd tour with bands, you know?
Oh, fuck. It's Coltrane. What? Bob, I'm doing a radio show.
Hey, Bob!
All right. Call me later
What's that, Bob?
Oh, he's gone. What's up with my meat puppets, Bob?
He's got the... Yeah, that's KX Lee style right there.
Yeah. He's, we're going to get into that, because you know Brother Matt.
Oh, yeah. Did you do KXLU?
Yeah.
You don't know the history?
Yeah, no, I figured you did.
The Blue Shift?
I didn't know,
but he goes way back.
Yeah, Burrito
Gang. We're gonna have a rap about it later on to connect to the both worlds.
Yeah.
But he's from the old days.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Cool.
Okay.
This is like the KXLU Love Dome. The disc jockeys would drop their doors. Yeah.
So that's where it was spawned from.
Actually, it looked a lot different there in the old days.
Yeah.
With you?
Yeah. Fixing? They modified it just a little bit.
It's gotten some upgrades recently.
Yeah. But anyway, back to Hero.
Anyway,
he just goes for it, huh?
He goes for it, and so we toured, we did a living room tour where I drove for my friend Mike, who just booked living room shows.
Yeah.
I told you about that, I think. And
well, there was a house here in Pedro doing that.
Yeah.
That's how the Fourth Street thing got going with Todd.
Oh.
They called it Porch Core.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And then there was one on 13th Street later.
And they just do house shows.
Yeah, they're just but the bands are out of state and stuff.
And they
they're playing in the house.
It's a really surreal. We did this whole project that we. This all gets to the band name eventually, but like we did this project where so he booked all these living room shows and you know we were sleeping on floors and you know that's the way it goes. But no matter how long you do it for, you know, and I know you're a big fan of sleeping on couches and conking them, you know, and I am too, to be honest. It's just kind of gets engraved in you. I get my best night's sleep sometimes on a couch. And
I'm a deck man.
Yeah, you sleep on, you conk on the floor.
Yeah, well, I got a rug. You got fire, Brother Matt?
Yeah.
But anyway.
So he,
there you go.
So you'd stay in these houses.
Yeah.
And, sometimes they'd be really nice and sometimes they'd be really bad. But you won't say anything to the person.
Because you're just hostage.
Yeah.
Something, there's padlocks on their door.
Yeah, padlocks are.
Now you go in the refrigerator and there's five jars of peanut butter and they all got different names on it.
Exactly.
I know, and some of it's.
But yeah, we're fine with it.
Wild ass because it's their years.
Yeah, because you're pretty much, you're living in their vibe where it's. They're doing whatever they want, so of course they're gonna have like six random people crash on their floor. It makes sense, and so those even weren't super bad. You'd still go into places that they were nice, but when it get like you know super just gross, you know you'd be like, oh god. So Hero, you
when
know,
the ones it, when you wake up with the dust bunnies all on the mouth,
yeah, you're like shit.
In the hair.
Yeah, you kind of just start you. You never really say anything. No one says anything, but you just feel it. You know, you're just because you're like, oh shit.
In
the shower, and so anyways, Hero would walk out, and he
can, the showers can be interesting. There can be
well, that's usually the worst part. Cultures. So that's the worst part always is the showers because that's how you
petri
can tell.
Gigantic petri dish.
You can have a super clean pad. Your pillows can be aligned, but you see the grout, and you're like. That's the tell. That's the tell right there. And so he would walk out. So he'd walk in and check it out, and I'd be like unloading. We drove my station wagon at the time on the whole tour, and I'd be unloading stuff or whatever. And I was like, "Oh, Hero, how is it?" And he goes, "Oh, it's Chilto Ghetto, I think." You know, and that was his humble way of saying it's nice. Anywho, we finished that tour, and Mike Park does a show with. He has a solo.
Gomi means trash.
Gomi. Yeah. Gomi.
Gomi, and what's a pad is ya. Gomi ya, maybe.
Gomi ya.
It'd be like trash pad.
I remember we stayed at this one place, and we were in the UK, and it was the most disgusting, for me at least. And we stayed at this one kid's pad, and same guys, same crew, the trio, me, Mike Park, and Hero. And, this guy, we slept on something similar to this. It was like this very like kind of like soft pad. I remember it was the only couch. You know, when you're on tour too, you rotate. You know, someone gets couch, two people get floor.
Right. One gets coat hanger.
So it was my turn for the couch, and it was super gnarls pad, and I sleep and wake up the next day, and the club had us back for breakfast in the morning because like UK sometimes are super nice and they'll have you back. So we go back to the same place we played the night before, and. We're ordering from the bar menu, you know. And the guy goes, we're staying with it. He's like, ordering this big meal. Like, you get like chips and gravy and eggs and full English breakfast. And it's like, you know, he's taking advantage of it. And we're all ordering modestly, kind of. And I look at the guy. I'm like, oh, that's you got a pretty healthy appetite there. He's like, oh, yeah, it was in Leicester. I've just been, you know, sick all last week, you know, and I've just been, we were on that couch, he was sleeping all last night, I was just sweating on it all night long, you know, and I looked at him like, what the fuck?
My turn.
Yeah, I was like, shit. My skin jumped off my body and ran out the room, but it was fine, you know.
The marinate.
Yeah, I got the sizzle, he stayed out in the sun. So he came up with the name, and then Mike got back from, we got back from a tour, and Mike was playing at the Knitting Factory, which used to be in L.A. and
Hollywood,
and
in that mall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
Interesting spot.
Yeah.
And
great for parking.
Great for parking.
Not.
Yeah. No. Not if you got a big old van.
Boat.
Everywhere over there is terrible for parking. I don't think there's one. You know, Safari Sam's used to be great. They used to have pretty ample parking. That was in the lot there.
It was in a strip mall.
That was cool.
It was. I can't tell. When's the last time I played Hollywood? It's been a while.
I don't think I've seen you up there. I've
been there
it.
For a long time. There's hardly any gigs up there.
We played the Whiskey a Go-Go not too long ago. That was terrible and great at the same time.
It wasn't
a
pay-for-play? It's been that
no,
for
we
years.
No, we got asked to play, actually. A friend of mine had a birthday there, who's a promoter there, and liked the band, and he had us play, which was nice. But it's a hassle. Like, you can't park and chill, you know. They want you, you know. They checked all the gear to make sure we weren't sneaking booze into the whiskey. Right? But,
we played there first with Fear.
Oh, wow.
In 1982. We weren't allowed to play there at first because we were a violent SST band. We were told. So Fear gets us in.
So Fears are in. Fear kind of had a grap on the LA scene a little bit there.
And Rick Van Sant was putting on the gig. He was a friend of mine. He started out selling T-shirts for the Screamers.
Mm-hmm.
He's Black a really
Hole,
good
right?
cat.
Huh? The label was Black Hole Screamers? Or?
Screamers?
Yeah.
They never made a record. They thought records were over. But they were like one of the first Hollywood bands. Yeah. Actually, they were from Seattle. They were called the Tupperwares. And they were the first that could sell out the Whiskey.
Wow. It's an interesting spot because it's got so much history.
San Vicente and Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
There was a Licorice Pizza across the street. And I remember seeing the Zeros. They were still teenagers. And I bought their 7-inch across the street. It was a trip. I'd never done something like that before. You know, I was from Arena Rock, and it was just a whole different thing.
It's so
a lot of good gigs there. But then it changed. They painted it gray, and it turned to paint play to pay. And I was one of the first gigs with monitors. Actually, the Starwood was the first one we did with that had monitors. Starwood's gone.
Yeah.
It was on Santa Monica and Crescent Heights. West Hollywood, too, I guess. And, they mowed it down. It's some kind of strip mall thing now. That area.
Yeah. A lot of venues, especially, like we mentioned, Knitting Factory before, even though, like, it was whatever, but they're gone. You know, it's, like, gone. The thing that happens, though, is it takes up, like, all-ages venues, which is good and bad. You know, forces house shows, which is great, I think. The house show scene's great. But then L.A. has the house show scene is like you saw the other night. They get shut down quick, you know?
Yeah. That was actually the back room of the skate shop.
That's true, yeah. That was good, though. I loved it.
Yeah. That was the PA that we did the benefits for. When Danny Lou was working. Yeah.
We were supposed to play that, but we had to back out.
Oh.
They had an
Atlanta band.
Last night, I know, from Athens.
It was Athens?
Athens, Georgia.
Okay.
I knew the guys, actually. We played out there.
But they weren't Mexican.
Brand new Mexican.
They're
hot new Mexican. Athens is a great town.
My angry Samoans didn't have Samoan guys either.
Right? Yeah, I don't think so.
No, they did. Athens, college town, but a lot of good music out there.
You've played there.
many times. The club's called 40 Watt.
Yeah, there you go.
I played the old one, too. Yeah.
Old one.
You know what? Did you bring some chato?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Okay, let's play some.
Cool.
Inside.
Watt from Pedro Show. Here with Chris Candy, Brother Matt, of course. The Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point.
Hey there.
Somewhere west of the Rockies, north of the equator. San Pedro. Chris's band, Chato Grotto. Chato Ghetto. Grotto.
Here in the grotto.
Grotto. I don't mind. We call it Chato Grotto all day today.
Special edition. The Italiano.
Special edition.
Limited edition.
That's something new they did called Find Your Things. They're five piece now. Quintet.
Quintet.
Let me play with you. Your
things.
Find Your Things.
Find Your Things.
And we heard something new from Go Team called Super Triangle. Then Pulse by Akiyuki Kubota. And then Hope from Boris.
Boris?
Yeah, they got two albums coming out.
Really?
See, yeah. This band, man, they can record all the time. They got two of them coming out. One of them, get this, one of the albums they're calling Hot Heavy Rocks.
But they
had an album like 10 years ago called Heavy Rocks. Yeah. And it's different songs. They just think, you know, that title was too good. And don't waste it on one album.
I like that.
And not volume two or anything. It's the exact same name, but different songs, different artwork. You know, to make things more clear. You know that band? If they do capitals, then it's going to be heavy. If they do lowercase, then you can tell what kind of record it's going to be by the way they make their name.
Really?
A little bit, yeah. And then this other one they're doing, I think it's called Pay Attention or something. And that's what this song is from. And they're letting the guitar player sing all the songs. So they're doing a new...
Swapping it up.
New direction, yeah, instead of the bass guy. The bass guy's a... he always plays these double necks.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, he's always got the double neck.
But he's, you know, he's mainly doing the bass. And a little, sometimes he moves to the guitar, but he's got to wear this huge thing, you know.
It's a very, like, yeah.
I got to interview him and the drummer man at Suo. He's the boss. He actually was the singer at first.
The drummer's the boss.
Yeah, he was the singer. He told me they were a hardcore band when they started. And he was the singer, and then they lost the drummer, so he just moved to drums. I said, how'd you learn how to play drums? And he said, well, I learned from watching Iggy Pop dance. okay.
I dig.
Yeah, I interviewed him in Atlanta at the Earl. It was a trip. I just happened to be out there and saw them and the smoke machine and stuff and then at the Earl.
You're a big town. That's
they're a trip. He had this gong and he was telling me, you know, everything where I live is imported. So don't worry about it. I said, okay. But I mean, they're a prolific band. I mean, they record like crazy.
Yeah, I've never seen them live. They're one of the bands I've still been waiting to check.
Where'd they play here?
They play.
I've never seen them here.
They play El Rey.
Okay.
Up in Hollywood, and then they play. I think they'll hit maybe Glass House, Pomona sometimes. I think they're in that circuit. For
okay.
Sure. Those spots, because they bring them in. They're kind of all that. I'm not super familiar with them, but I think Black Mountain or Black Angels. Those they always kind of put them up.
Sometimes they'll play real hard rock and stuff like the gigs, but some of the albums like they. Collaborate with Mersbau and stuff. I mean, they do really spacey, trippy stuff.
That's why I always loved that band. They definitely, like...
They don't have a one thing.
You couldn't just shoot in the dark to get a record from
something them. Something at times, it's like Bell Bottoms and Smoke Machines and, like, you know, Big Hair. And then I think they did something with the... Who's that singer guy? For a little while, he was doing The Doors.
Oh, Ian Asbury.
England guy, right?
Yeah.
Cult.
Cult. Yeah, that's...
But not the Blue Oyster Cult.
No.
I remember when that band came out, it was like, The Cult. So that's what people would call BOC for short.
Yeah.
The Endearment, but it wasn't that.
No, it's way different.
It was kind of like some England punk guys who went hard rock or something.
Yeah, they're into that whole kind of like, if anything, I feel like they're the guys that are kind of still glorifying that sunset scene, if there is any scene. They love that biker rock and roll kind of L.A. vibe.
So they did an album with this guy singing.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's trippy. Trippy.
Boris does a lot of stuff with a lot of
artists. Right. Yeah, they had that Michio, that cat on the guitar. When I saw him in Georgia, they had another guitarist. They weren't just a trio.
Mm.
They're good. Okay, so you get tired, not tired, but you leave this phase of touring where you're not a player, and then you put together the Chato Ghetto and start touring.
Yeah, it's great. We did the first gig at the Knitting Factory with, which is funny because people don't even believe it, but it was with Mike Park and then Kevin Seconds, which was great for us.
Yeah. Kevin Seconds, Skeeno Scene, 7 Seconds was his band.
Yeah.
Did he do acoustic?
He does acoustic.
Yeah, that's what he does now.
Yeah, he's really into the, like, just folk kind of acoustic.
You know who else does that now? Is Joy Shithead.
Yeah. I think I saw him do that, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
He does DOA, too, but maybe that's the end of the road game. You just break out the acoustic. You get tired of lifting amps.
Well, I think they'll be the first to say that, because they love just... Even Mike, and I could talk about it for him, but he was just so stoked, you know, no band, no drama. Just kind of got a, you know, you just rolled to the gig, you know, with your show on the back, you know. And you walk in and you play anywhere.
Billy Bragg.
Bragg's all about that.
But I think he always was, he played with them in the 80s, Minuteman, and he was like that then.
Mm.
Although I think he's done things with bands, too. Somebody told me he had a band called The Blokes.
He did something with Wilco as well, too, I believe. He did a record.
Oh, Chicago band. Yeah. Mel's Place.
Yeah, they did a record called Mermaid Avenue, I think. It's a fun rock record, totally cool. But yeah, he had us play the first gig, and I was on guitar, which I don't do anymore. It was.
You were still a four-piece?
We were a four-piece, and I was trying guitar out, and we played...
You were on stun guitar.
Yeah, look... Yeah, couldn't do it.
On the Blue Oyster Cult, Eric Bloom was always listed as stun guitars. Me and D. Boone would think about that. Whoa, wonder what kind that is. In fact, his name on the records was always E. Bloom. That's where D. Boone got his name, D. Boom.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, we were way into the Blue Oyster Cult. This was in the 70s or early 70s and stuff.
Oh, there they...
But it always said stun guitar, you know. Mm. The other guys just played guitar, and sometimes lead guitar or something. But he was on stun guitar, so we were like, whoa.
What's that about?
And then at the gigs, though, it was trippy, because he played a couple chords or something, but he didn't play it much.
Mm.
It was like kind of hanging there.
Yeah, well...
He held it.
Yeah.
They shoot the lasers.
Well, eventually, you know, but they had a laser out of his wristwatch or something, and he'd shoot it at a mirror ball, and then shoot all over the whole pad, and it was on this green, yeah. That's like one of the last times I saw him. They're still touring
they
around.
They still play around, yeah.
There's two of them left. I think they got the Quiet Riot guy on bass now.
He's thudding away for him.
Yeah.
Thudding. I got your turn.
So, okay. So, okay, the Notorious...
We do the first show.
Factory gig, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
No more stun guitar?
No more stun guitar. The band... I guess the bass player and...
Was it a Democracy move?
Yeah, they the first practice that they left from, they said, all right, well, Chris probably shouldn't be on guitar. I didn't know where we were going with it at the first, because I just wanted it to be a hardcore band, you know.
Yeah.
But then I didn't realize I was... musicians I was with, you know, like, I was lucked out. We, you know, I was in an English class in college with the drummer, and I just said, I've got to do this show, you want to play it? And he was like, all right.
I mean, you got the gig without a band.
Yeah, yeah. And I just said, I'll do it, don't worry, no problem. And then found my friend of my sister, this guy Tom Beach, he played bass.
Yeah.
And then Chris from Detroit, but Chris was right next to Fletcher. And I said, do you want to play drums, Fletcher? And he was like, yeah, no problem. And then Chris was like, well, you know, I've been looking to get in a band. And I had no clue, but I just knew he was this animated character. I was like, all right, fuck it. You know, like, go ahead, you know. Come on board. And then we had the first practice, and then we did that show. And then...
You did the gig with only one practice?
We did three or four. Okay. I think three. But we played only...
Where'd you get the tunes up?
We did... I wrote, actually, all of them. The first ones,
so
I wrote all
of them.
You
showed it to him at the prac. Okay.
Yeah, I wrote all of them, which was a trip, because I hadn't done that. And I just listened to records, and I kind of took the influence.
Was Chato Ghetto your first band?
No. I've had two or three before that.
When did you start?
Eighth grade. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I started a band in eighth grade called the Bay Street Hooligans, and we were a ska band. And I played trumpet.
Yeah.
And it was a trumpet, and I was bad because I told my friend, I was like, you should play
trumpet. You know what? Those ska bands were good for kids who played in the school bands because they had brass sections. And they couldn't get in the rock band, so when ska came, it was cool.
It made sense.
The bones.
The trumpet, And we, you know, we had the instruments. We were lucky with that. And then we all, just, you know, got together, and we did covers. Covered some Skanga Pickle songs, and then which was a ska band that I was really into at the time, who was Mike Park's original band.
Yeah.
And that's how I met Mike, actually, because I called up the record label he owns called Asian Man Records.
Yeah.
And they're out of San Jose. And I was like, I had no clue what record labels were like, so I thought it was a big label.
You're in eighth grade.
Yeah, so I thought it's like, you know, Recess Records might as well have like a front desk and a lobby and, you know, an office in back, you know. Same thing for Asian Man, so I was just like, oh, perfect. All right, I called up and I was like, little kid, and I was like, oh, well, you know, I need to ask this question about this lyric, and is it cool if we cover this song, and all of these things, you know, no balls, just asking, you know. And then the guy on the phone who was like, at the time, like an idol, I was like, oh, this Mike Park guy is like amazing, you know, he's so cool, and he's this guy on the other lines chatting with me. Oh yeah, well, what I'm, you know, what he's saying there, he says, like Hasi Selassie Rastafari is a lyric I couldn't understand, and I'm like, oh cool, what's up with this band, what's up with that band, and then he goes, oh well, yeah, that band's doing good, and I'm like, well, what about Mike Park, how's he doing? And I'm like, he's like, well, I'm doing pretty good, you know.
It was him.
And I'm like, I freaked, you know. And then that's how our relationship starts. But
oh man,
that was a trip. But then that was the first.
Well, how'd you get into trumpet? Was it a school thing?
Yeah, I was in sixth grade, and it was a birthday gift, and I'd seen like horn players around.
Yeah,
and music's always been around my family, and
Like rock records when you were young?
Yeah, rock.
But you didn't want to do guitar or bass or drum?
No, I think it was just there's something about the. You know, music gravitates to each person.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
So I think that there's always something, and it you know, resonates in your personality, I think. And no matter what I say, you know, I love guitars and I love fuzzy shit. But I think there'll always be something where it's like, well, no, the first thing you went to was like for like a warm kind of brassy sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there'll always be something about that. Like I can listen to, you know, like a brass section from like an orchestra or. You know, just some ska band doing, like, two-part harmonies. And
you ever heard of Serbian brass?
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. It's got the Turk.
That whole influence in it.
How long did the Bay Street Hooligans last?
Bay Street Hooligans lasted two shows. Our
two gigs.
Our talent show in eighth grade and our eighth grade graduation dance.
Those are some big gigs.
And the eighth grade graduation gig was... it was so rough because then we were like, all right, we branched off the covers to originals, and we didn't have the brain power yet for that, or maybe we did. So we wrote three originals, and that was it. And then we stopped, fizzled out. And then in the later high school years, God, I'd been in two bands. Yeah, and then high school I was in punk band, ska band for the 4 years, and then when early
really, what were they called?
We were called Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
with two eyes.
And where were you growing up?
I was growing up in I was at the time. Then I was in Bel Air at that point. Yeah,
Blair band, Blair scene.
And but we were all from the Valley, because I went to high school in the Valley. And I grew up. I grew up in West Side and Los Angeles. But I went to high school in the Valley. So that was, which is interesting too, because there was a punk scene at the time out there.
Yeah.
And for us, it was like a. You know, house shows and backyard gigs, and then you play...
Dickies or Valley? There's a lot of bands in the older days.
The Valley's great. You know, I got a lot of influence from there. I'm really happy that, you know, I went to school out there, because met, like, a lot... into the scenes that I would have never gotten into, you know.
Yeah.
I met a lot of straight-edge hardcore kids, and that whole world, and just kind of floating through it and seeing how it was, and... But yeah, you know, you play with so many different people, and the Valley's a melting pot for a lot of places in California.
Yeah.
You know, you've got people Ventura, and you've got people out in the IE, and they kind of all kind of gravitate towards that area for work or whatnot.
Yeah.
Anywho, I was in a band then, and then in college I was in an indie rock kind of band where I played keys and trumpet, and we were called the Figurines. And that's when I started touring, because I finished the... And I've been in a couple bands too. There's ones I'm forgetting. But yeah, anywho,
we're at the end of the first hour.
Let's do it.
Of February. No more. March 1st.
March
2011. Puffer Beaver Show, hang tight for hour two. March 1st, 2011, the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. We'll be right back. Watt from Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with National Condom Week by Zibo Gucci Masayasu Project. Then we heard Entitled 3 by Natsuki Kido Kenji Haino and Yuji Katsui. And finally, Inari by Wakine. Brother Matt was schooling Chris here on his schooling in electronic music. And he's saying when he first came to those in the early 90s, it was DJ was deflated to like couldn't even see him. And now he's like elevated to the persona man.
Yeah, the star.
And Chris has just been getting into this scene.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's different, you know. You go through all like music, and then it came at the right time, though. But we were talking about it earlier, like with your gig, how.
Oh yeah, well, Brother Matt, you guys didn't get to hear, but he was talking a little bit about how he loved doing DJing because he got started on radio. It was at KXLU.
Yeah.
But he had to move to a Mersh FM station that burned him out, and so he wasn't into it at all. And so the electronic thing.
Yeah, just seeing the DJing. DJing as an instrument, using the turntables and as an instrument as right. opposed to just a turntable.
Right, playing songs like a jukebox.
Yeah.
Actually working it.
Yeah, which when you kind of can see when they're getting into the mixing of it all, it really becomes like an instrument for themselves. And like, mm-hmm. and that's their expression, man. Like, that's how they do it.
Well, what do you think of the tag team when they have two guys? Has that kind of gone down? That was pretty big for a while.
Yeah, I went to one not too long ago where it was two guys.
It's mm-hmm. two guys. Mm-hmm. Right? What are they called? Crystal?
Oh, the Crystal Method? Yeah, those guys rock.
That's two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they put a little rock into the electronica. It's neat how it just keeps branching off into different little subgenres, you know. It's not just Kraftwerk.
Yeah, no.
I've seen Kraftwerk in the 70s. Yeah. I saw him in the 80s. I seen him in the 2000s. I didn't see him in the 90s, but I saw him 70s, 80s, and 2000s.
Yeah, not knocking it, but it's just trippy how it's grown and branched and evolved. And it continues to.
Well, I've always appreciated, too, and just like from your perspective on music, like the people's, you know, expression through it, you know. I've always, like, within the last couple of years, no matter what you're working on or whatever your music is, I think it's, like, always, like, just good not to knock it. You know, it's always, like, this is what they're about. So when you kind of look at things that way, any music's really interesting. So there's little things I don't like, you know. There's things, taste stuff that I'm not into. But, like, you know, when you go to these discotheque kind of things, it's fun. You know, so many people are into it, and then you kind of start getting under the method of it, you know. And they go late, you know. I'm used to gigs that are done at, you know, 12 at the very latest, maybe 1 or 2. But
it's when they're starting.
They're starting, and they go till 8.
It's neat stumbling out in the morning, open the doors up, it's like vampires. It's just blinded by this. The sun is up.
Yeah, it's a total... And that's the, and then like the city's just waking up, and it's such like a mind, you know, mess, but it's cool, you know. I can't hate it because it's fun, you know.
I've tried to get more into like tune by tune, and I'm really avoiding this idea of generalizing because of a genre or the kind of instruments being used or the beats per minute.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I just want to get away from all that and just try to keep the concept of music kind of pure, because that other stuff is kind of crutches for marketing or something. It's not the real deal.
No.
So I go by the tune. I don't care what they're doing to do it. If I like it, I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've just gotten away from all kinds of preferences to, I don't know, uniforms.
Tagging it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you give it a fair shot. You can... I think in some ways you might like it, and you have to tell yourself you don't because you're not part of that tribe that's associated with that genre. That's
your trip.
Guy who was selling socks the week before is now telling you what music goes with what.
And it's almost interesting when you kind of fight that vibe to, like, hate on something. The minute you get past it and you're like, all right, I was true to it.
Yeah.
You feel good after, and then you really respect it. Because you do fight it, you know. Oh, I'm not into that or this. Mm-hmm. Or
but it's not for musical reasons sometimes. It's the other things. They're like peer pressure or just your own sense of, like, knowing everything in the world.
Yeah, you know, I got it all. I got all the answers, man. Yeah, no.
Even my own mind, it got to this point where I'd watch a band and my mind right away would start comparing them with other bands I've already heard. Uh-huh. And I wouldn't let these guys have their own gig. My mind would be all of a sudden putting the Nuremberg Trial together. And, you know, well, they didn't invent this. This is a copy of this and this and this. And it's like, fuck. He's still mine. Just listen to it. Experience it.
It's true. I saw a band last night and I caught myself doing that. And they weren't my bag. You know, they were good. They weren't my, you know, not my favorite. But it was just like, you still got to kind of go and see what they're doing and their thing. Because at the end of the day, they're going through the same, you know, the same method that you're doing or whatever you want to call it.
Notes and rhythms.
Yeah, and you got to respect that.
Yeah, melody or some kind of story sometimes, emotion, sure. Feelings, sometimes tradition.
This gets all, you know, I think a lot of people get upset with, like, music that's produced on, like, a very large scale where it's, like, the Death Star of music almost, where there's so many levels going into these, like, maybe we could say pop songs and stuff, where the original idea gets so bloated and out of context. But, you know, with people just coming out trying to do their thing, and maybe they're influenced by that major influence, they're going through the same thing, man, you know. And there's something really cool about that. And you got, and what has always bugged me is people who, I think it was Times, or they said this was the worst millennium for music, or the worst decade for music. And what bullshit is that?
No. Because there's some lame stuff, but every period has some lame stuff.
And I think, yeah, exactly.
But what you think is lame might not be what the other cat.
Yeah.
It's aesthetics, you know?
And it's putting yourself out there, you know? It's like maybe it's not being played on the radio, but it's like...
Yeah, of course.
You go out to shows. Like, there's always a gig in L.A. every night, you know?
Yeah, so you don't... If something, some scene... Or like what free records you get in the mail because you're a reviewer, maybe out of that box, and maybe there's some happening stuff happening.
I think so. I think, and we're really fortunate. Even here in Pedro, I think it's like you guys have an amazing community of like music going on here on a lot of levels.
We're lucky.
Yeah.
You know, because in the Minutemen days, God, there was nothing.
That's when I think of when I hear 80s music, I think, oh, that sucks. You know, instantly you think of like Journey, Foreigner.
Sure.
But then I think, well, that's when I was at KXLU, and that's what was happening. Minutemen, Meat Puppets, SST, all of that stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. Know, so that. Whiskers. Just like, Whiskers. So there's the scene and the scene.
Yeah.
KXLU's a great station. Yeah. It's. I do a radio show up there, and you were mentioning that you do a show up there. And it's a college station. Mike's been up there a bunch. And we're on LMU's campus, and
Loyola Marymount.
Loyola Marymount, which is right by LAX in above the marina.
Westchester, right?
Yeah, Westchester.
Yeah, 3,000 watts pumping to LA.
And it's
every DJ's got his own show. There's no like kind of policy of the whole station.
No computer printout.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's
Brother Matt ended up reading with these MERS stations.
Oh yeah.
That was. After being there with total freedom, only being limited by your imagination to go someplace and have to read everything off of a computer printout based on some marketing research and reading the card at the right time with the log, playing your favorites. Coming up next, weather and traffic.
Yeah. You must think like these NPR guys want to go crazy sometimes. They say the same things.
They have their own little spiels. Everybody with their sticks, but the KXLU, it seemed like everybody was given their own show, and they just let their world exist and where it did. Brother Matt had one called Blue Shift.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had, like, Willie Dixon, Papa John Creech, all kinds of great legendary people come up and do interviews, play live, go to their house and do interviews. And as a news director, also did the High Noon News every day for years.
That's a shame we don't have that anymore.
Oh, man, what a bummer.
We don't have anything kind of like that on the public. We do PSAs. Those are always kind of funny when those come on.
Yeah.
But, you're right. And the station stayed that way. We've and it's great to have. I think a lot of major cities have their like college radio station. You know, Seattle's
got
great
ones. No, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, it was like being a real journalist. You know, going out and covering whatever stories, and I got a LAPD press pass just by bullshitting my way in, and I got an actual LAPD press pass.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So
that's great.
Yeah, it really, you're just limited by imagination there, and you could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It was bitching. Several of the bands have been in and played up there, huh?
You played up on...
Yeah, I got a picture of you back in, like, a fire hose.
Yeah, but Minutemen played up there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Dose has played there, you know. I've done a lot of times, the first time I ever play my album, it'll be on that station, on purpose.
Yeah.
Because I just dig the shit out of it.
Well, we'd love to have you up on our show.
Chris was asking me. I'll do my third opera up there.
Very cool. How much you make in the fundraiser now?
This year we did great. They did over 100,000.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I first got up there, they made like a few thousand joints, a couple beers, and then we went over 10,000, and that was a big deal. And got a new board. So man, that's amazing.
Yeah, we've got, you know, the love comes in. We get some people calling in, you know, and they give a little. I think our show raised like $400. But, you know, the station that does great the show that does great is Almo Del Barrio.
Oh, yeah, Aladdin stuff.
Aladdin stuff.
Yeah,
that's on.
Yeah. Legendary.
That's Saturday, Sunday. So our station gets taken over from Saturday, Sunday from like normal broadcast hours. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, all Latin music across the whole spectrum.
Sure.
And they've gotten really, it's a good perspective. You know, it almost seems like the radio station's changed when you change to it. But
yeah, they got Latin jazz, and some of those DJs are well renowned in their field of Latin jazz.
Menashenko's there, he does like a Brazilian hour. And yeah, it's neat. And they raise a ton of funds. And, you know, for LA, you know, it's great for the community.
Yeah, absolutely. What, because you were doing these bands in school. Eighth grade and stuff like that. What did you do in the radio direct?
Going to school there and then at Loyola.
Yeah.
And then all of my friends were DJs there.
Oh.
And they, one night I just got called up to do, there's an opening from 2
like
to 3 in the morning.
Or something?
Yeah, and like you want to come in and interview for it. And I did a ska show called Trad to Tone. And I think that was maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I can't remember, but... And that was from 2 to 3 in the morning. And I just go up and I had an hour to tell a story. So it was like I started with like early Jamaican, you know, rocksteady and ska, and then I kind of went to two tone, and then marched my way to the end of the show, and then I play some new stuff. And I did that for a couple of years. And then this show that was going on for a long time called Noise Pollution was a live show, and these cats were doing it for a long time. This Justin Time was his name.
Right on,
Justin Time. Yeah, he's one of our old crew.
He's a super nice guy.
Yeah,
and he, you know, he just kind of had his ends with the show, and it was left there like an abandoned ship. And so, my friend Mark actually got the call. I was in the car with him, and it was Justin saying like, "Well, I'm not going to do the show anymore." And we all kind of looked at each other, and we're like, and he was just like,
"Our
noise pollution is empty right now. And so on college nights, you know, you'd be late working or whatever, and then I remember one night, they're like, "Yeah, we're going to go to Noise Pollution, you want to come?" And it was the first time I could go and play whatever, music, and then it was like, it was cool, you know, you didn't have a genre to sit within. So then we were just, all right, grab Boris, Mastodon Records, all these things. And then we did, the first show was like, just like, marched through super quick, and it was fun, and then... we kind of rebuilt it, and then it was going on for years, and I was coming in and out of it until, like, the last 2 years ago when my friend Carlos moved back from New York, and he had this fire about it, and this Maki, who's been up there, too, at the station, who's the engineer, he's been there forever, he's like the blood of that station. My friend Carlos came in, and he had all these, he just said, like, he went up to the show with me, and he had such an energy about it, and he's a creative guy, he works for a design firm, and we've been high school pals, you know, since high school, and, he had all these ideas. Oh, let's do this. Let's release this. You know, things I didn't have, like, I'd never think of, you know. But I had the energy to do it. Let's do it. So we started adopting these projects, you know, and going to, like, punk labels in L.A. And then the tone of the show changed from just, like, having bands up to, like, all right, let's get bands that we really believe in every couple of weeks, or we don't, you know, no genre set, just kind of, like, a sound. That's all we were going for, just a sound. And then And we started kind of getting a little more picky with the music that we were kind of looking for. Selective, I guess, is a better word. And then we've been doing Noise Pollution for 2 years. And it's fun. It's just this really goofy kind of like, we talk more than I think we play music sometimes. But, you know, we wear wigs when we do the show. We wear that. We get into it, and we've done a bunch of projects with that. And it's fun. And that, and like you were saying earlier, that's the whole point with a station like KXLU, is that you give a person their show and they can do whatever they want with it.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah, take advantage of the freedom.
And then it makes it just this, you know, amazing, like, you know, basket of great radio, because, you know, you have people who really care about it. You know, we share the bandwidth with a lot of other stations. And
you know what? I think you see our Irvine's on the same exact frequency.
Yeah.
Clowns.
So is it streaming now also?
Yeah, they're on KXLU.com, and then you can, from there, get like a... We have a crap feed, though, man. It's like 56.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. Like, I love the station because I always say it's human radio. And, you know, it's like you'll call up, you'll tune in, and there'll be no music playing and no one's talking. Even I was up there once, and you have to do these readings, you know. Go to the tower, and you're reading numbers.
Yeah.
The tower's reading, you got three channels. I remember I was up there and reading, and I hit, like, the wrong button. And then, like, the feed goes out, and then all I hear is, like, I just look at Carl, and I'm like, oh, shit. You know, I panic easy, you know? And I'm like, what? And I start pushing all the buttons, and he's like, what the heck? And then we get a phone call. What's going on? You know, like, you don't realize. You got a lot of little, you got a lot of shoulders. But, you know, it's funny, though, and that's the whole point, you know, which is great. And I think it's great for our city to have something like that.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
Because we're surrounded by so many organized
things.
Shit. Yeah.
When I'm very lucky to have Brother Matt ready to do a spin cycle for us.
Cool.
You got it up there, Brother
very
Matt?
Cool, ready to roll.
Brother Matt, thank you so much.
You, cool, cool. My pleasure. Thank you.
Alleviate your reverb effect there. Yeah, what was it behind your motivation, your impetus, your...
Got some book
push
recently called Elephants on Acid. And so I kind of had some kind of dark, fat, groovy feeling that I had to express.
I like that. And a great way to close out the second hour of March 1st, 2011, Watt Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three.
Today's.
March 1st, 2011 is the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. And coming up right now via ZBS Media, the good folks at Zero Bullshit, we got part six of part eight. So we're two-thirds?
Six-eighths.
Yeah. Getting there.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Or three-fourths.
Three-fourths.
Yeah, well, damn. Math again.
Guess number two. Okay.
Three-fourths
of the way through.
Three-fourths of three
Jack Flanders and Steam Dreamers of Inverness.
Jack!
Jack, Mojo, and Claudine have returned to that strange steam room hidden away in the Inverness mansion. They reactivated the old steamoscope, the holographic slide projector that operates with steam, creating three-dimensional images that begin to take on a life of their own. In fact, they are now aboard the great zeppelin called the Illuminato, and they are looking out across a vast sky of blue, and there before them is an island city, and it is floating in the sky.
Jack, have you ever seen anything like this?
Well, actually, I have.
No, come on, really?
Yes, I've seen my share of floating islands, but not a whole city in the sky.
Captain, do you know what that is?
I have heard tales of floating cities, but I never thought I would see one. Not ever.
It's so green. It's like a fairy tale city.
Captain, do you mind if I borrow your telescope?
Yeah, here, take. Tell me what you see.
I thought there was an awful lot of green down there.
Oh, can I see?
Oh, you're here.
Yes, very green.
I'd like to take a look.
Yes, here.
Yeah, very, very green.
What are you seeing?
It looks like a jungle down there, and it's not just between the buildings. It's growing up the sides of the buildings.
Captain, what keeps the island afloat?
I have been told these islands can stay aloft for hundreds of years. Who can believe that? But who knows?
From what I can see, it's a dead city. Except for the vegetation, that seems to be thriving.
It may be not as dead as it appears, Herr Flanders.
Captain, can we get closer to the island?
I will be docking there for repairs. The storm has disabled one of the rudders.
That'll give us a chance to explore the city.
One never knows what may be living beneath the jungle canopy. Be careful.
The zeppelin slowly glides up to one of the tallest buildings. The crew hurries about, fastening down the great airship.
Mojo and I are going down to take a look.
Oh, not without me.
Claudine, God only knows what is down there.
Well, I'd like to know. Ah, there you are, Claudine. You are going too. They were trying to leave without me. Jack Mojo, shame on you.
Here comes Captain Von Baumbaum.
Are you coming with us, Captain?
No. I must stay with the ship. You are not armed?
You think I should bring my tarot cards?
You may not have time to stop and predict the future, Herr Mojo. May I suggest something like my Mauser M712 Schnellfeuer?
Oh, man. That's a beaut.
Here's an extra magazine. And Herr Flanders, for you,
No, thanks. One gun is enough.
No. I want you to have a machete.
Oh, well, that'll come in handy.
Claudine, will you take my old faithful friend?
Oh, A Mauser C96. Oh, you keep it in excellent condition, Contessa.
Oh, I have not had the pleasure to shoot anyone of late.
Are you a good shot, Contessa?
Deadly.
Are you familiar with firearms, Fräulein?
Mm-hmm. I used to hunt with my father in northern Quebec. Oh, thank you, Contessa, but I would rather not.
Oh, all right, then.
Now, one more item. What we call a Funksprechgerät.
I beg your pardon?
A talkie-walkie.
You mean a walkie-talkie?
No, I mean a talkie-walkie.
Is it a two-way radio?
Yes, but it has a short range. We use it when the crew is working outside on the Zeppelin.
Excellent, Captain Bom-Bom-Bom.
That's excellent indeed.
Well, it sounds like an excellent adventure.
Do you need anything more?
You don't happen to have a pith helmet, do you?
I'm afraid not.
So, we all ready?
The three adventurers climb into a large wicker basket. They wave goodbye as the cable unwinds.
Cheerio.
Ciao.
They slowly descend from the gondola of the Zeppelin, down alongside the abandoned buildings covered with creeping vines, until finally they drop through the jungle canopy and into the dark shadows of the thick jungle vegetation.
Whew. Man, it's hot and humid down here.
Jack, look at the size of these leaves. They're gigantic.
Well, if we get rain, one leaf will keep us all dry.
They settle down on the leafy floor of the jungle. They cautiously climb out of the wicker basket.
Oh, man. This looks like this was onto the street. It's just a jungle now.
Yeah, they must use some terrific plant food for a rainforest to grow like this.
The vegetation is so thick. How are we going to get anywhere?
Well, that's why we brought a machete.
Oh, my God. What was that?
It didn't sound happy.
Can these plants feel pain?
You think these vines have nerves?
Or maybe it's the whole jungle.
Well, look, we've got vines everywhere. Let's try a different one and see what happens.
Be careful.
Do these vines have intelligence?
Well, plants do. A bit different than ours, but usually anyway. Okay, I'll just give it a little whack.
It didn't like that.
What do we do now?
Well, we could wear earplugs.
Oh, Jack, no.
I'm just kidding. We haven't been threatened. At least not yet.
Just watch who you tread on.
There's insects and birds, so there is other life down here.
I wonder what happened to the people who built the city.
Maybe they decided to leave.
Or maybe they mutated.
Just what we need. Morlocks.
What are Morlocks?
H.G. Wells, the time machine.
They raised humans to harvest them.
They did what?
To eat them.
Oh, great. Will you two please stop it?
Okay. But let's take it slow. Like Mojo said, watch who you step on.
They move forward, making their way through the thick jungle vegetation.
How does this island stay floating in the sky?
I heard the captain say that there are machines beneath the city that keep it aloft.
But how can it keep operating on its own?
In the Victorian industrial age, they designed things to last for a long, long time.
But wait, hold on. Look at this. What do you make of it?
It looks like a tunnel.
It's a path. See how the vegetation has grown up to form a series of archways that, well, they're just like tunnels heading off in different directions.
Man, that looks like a maze. You could get all zigzagged around in there.
Do you think these paths are being used?
It's almost as though the jungle was designed to grow these pathways.
Or maybe it has a mind of its own.
Oh, did you see? When you step on grass, it springs right back.
So it's impossible to tell whether these paths are still being used or not.
Ahoy down there. This is Captain von Baumbaum.
Aye, Captain. We're safe and sound, so far anyway.
What do you see down there?
Well, It's a jungle, all right. There are paths, but it's impossible to tell whether they're still being used or not.
Where do the paths lead?
They probably connect to the buildings.
Hello, Mr. Flanders, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Contessa.
Please be careful.
We're watching our backs, ma'am.
I don't think there's anything to worry about.
Captain, do you have anything more to say?
Herr Flanders, if you need assistance, do not hesitate.
We'll stay in touch. Ciao.
They continue on following the jungle pathway. But the paths often crisscross. It's quite confusing.
Which way do we go?
Mojo, how's your sense of direction?
Oh, it's not too good down here, but I've got a compass.
Good.
Let's see where this goes.
Finally, a path does lead into an abandoned building.
There's nothing in here. It looks like it's been stripped clear of everything.
Who were the people that lived here? Why did they leave?
Mojo, are you picking up any strange vibes here?
I got the feeling that as long as we're not a threat, we're not going to be threatened.
But if we start hacking at the jungle, everything may change?
Jack, let's not find out, all right?
Mr. Flanders, can you hear me?
Yes, Captain.
There is another storm approaching.
Oh, great.
Do you wish to return to the Zeppelin?
Just a moment. What do you think?
If there's another one like the last one, I'd rather be down here than up there.
I agree.
Captain?
Just a moment. Was Gibson? Nicht jetzt, nein, nein, ich bin beschäftigt. Herr Flanders, you were saying...
We'll stay where we are.
I was just informed the storm will be upon us sooner than we had anticipated.
Captain, will you be safe up there?
Don't worry. We have weathered many storms.
Be careful.
Find shelter. Auf Wiedersehen.
The crew can't work on that Zeppelin in a storm. Repairing the ship may take a lot longer than they thought.
Good. We'll have more time to explore the city.
I think we better find a place to wait out the storm. Come on.
Any place where the roof don't leak will do.
Now it's starting to rain.
Now this path may take us up to that building over there.
Flooding, come on, we're getting soaked.
Oh, I love the rain.
Yeah, I know. So do the frogs.
I am not a frog.
Oh, I know.
Jack, Mojo, and Claudine hurry up the pathway. Up ahead is a building that is so covered with vines, it appears as though it were growing up out of the jungle.
Donna, the doors are stuck.
Why don't we just climb through the window?
Hold on.
Mojo, come on, do something. I'm getting drenched.
Oh, Jack, you won't melt.
No. I think I may. I melt.
Oh, hurry up, Mojo. Jack is melting.
It's open.
I got it.
Jack, coming out of the rain.
My bother. I'm soaked to the bone now.
Oh, you poor thing.
Oh, man. It's pretty black in here. Anybody got a light? Thanks, God. I needed that.
Look, I have some magic. Oh, great. They're soaking wet, too.
Your eyes will get accustomed to the dark.
Yeah, if I were an owl.
Well, Jack, just pretend. All right?
From what I can see, this place is empty. There's nothing there. Ow!
You were saying?
Oh, man. I stepped into some kind of trap.
Are you serious?
Yeah, some kind of wire cage.
Ooh, I wonder how our Zeppelin is holding up out there.
I hope it's still there when this storm passes.
Jack, let's stay down here tonight.
What? Spend the night huddled around a campfire?
Why not?
Claudine's more adventurous than you are, Jack.
I think you're right.
There's something in this city. I want to know what it is.
Mojo, you feel the same way?
No, but I am curious.
The rain continues to pour down. when it finally does let up. It's grown dark outside.
Look! Look! Do you see that?
What? Where?
Outside! See?
Huh. What are those things? Fireflies?
Those are the fattest fireflies I've ever seen.
Man, they're as big as birds.
See how bright they are.
If we catch a couple, we can use them as lanterns.
I think you're right. Hey, what about that cage?
The wire mesh isn't that fine, but if those fireflies are the size of a South Sea sparrow, I don't think they'll squeeze through.
Is a Philly sparrow different from an English sparrow?
Oh, yeah. A South Philly sparrow has a total other tweet.
Yeah. Whatever you say. Now, where's Claudine?
She's out there, fooling around with the fireflies.
Ah, well, they seem friendly enough, huh?
Well, she's coming back. She's got one cupped in her hand.
Yeah, it's so bright it glows right through her fingers.
I caught one.
So I see.
Here, put it in the cage.
There.
That's like a 10-watt bulb you got there.
Amazing.
Absolutely magical.
Man, look out there. The whole jungle is blinking with those bug lights.
And Flanders, are you there?
Oh, it's our captain. Yes, we're here.
How'd you weather the storm?
We are fine. What are the lights we are seeing down there?
Fireflies.
No.
Yeah, they're as big as hummingbirds.
Really?
Yeah, Claudine caught one. We put it in a cage.
Will you bring me one?
I will, when we come up. We're staying down here tonight.
You feel it safe?
So far, yeah.
Ask how the repairs are coming along.
Captain, are you making progress repairing the Zeppelin?
We could do nothing because of the rain. We will start again tomorrow. So, you are not returning tonight?
Claudine wants to see the sights by firefly light.
Oh, I'm tempted to come down there myself, but I cannot.
I will see you tomorrow. Gute Nacht.
Good night, Captain.
So, we are staying the night?
Yeah. I figured one way or another you'd get your way.
I don't mind staying here alone.
Oh, you're kidding, right?
Am I?
Claudine, what is it about this place? What do you think is down here?
I don't know. But I feel safe.
You feel something is calling you?
No. Do you?
No. But I'm beginning to feel that you should be leading this expedition and not me. Oh, I knew you were out there lurking somewhere, Mojo.
I wasn't lurking. I was just eavesdropping.
Quiet. Shh. Do you hear that?
It's running water. No, it just rained.
Hey, there's a drain back here.
Is there a sewer system beneath us?
They capture the water to feed the jungle.
Did you know that?
I just know.
Jack, will you bring that lightning bug over here? I want to go back to that building and see if we can get some more cages.
Sounds like a good idea, Mojo.
I'll wait out here.
If we each have a lantern, the three of us together will be like like a little nova glowing in the night.
Jack and Mojo explore the building, and they do find a cache of cages. They return outside, planning to capture more of these king-size fireflies.
Where did all the lightning bugs go? Man, they disappeared.
Hey, where's Claudine?
Well, she was standing over there.
Claudine?
Hello?
Mojo, you feel she's been acting a little strangely?
Nah, she's just an independent woman.
Yeah, don't I know it.
Claudine?
Now what?
Let's catch us a lightning bug.
Yeah, but where are they? They're all gone.
I see one.
They pursue the firefly. It's far more evasive than they had anticipated.
Man, these things are like lightning. How did Claudine catch that one so quick?
Yeah, it's like trying to catch a hummingbird.
Oh, almost got him.
You know, I wonder if they still glow when they're dead.
Why is that?
Well, I was thinking it'd be a lot easier if you just took out your Mauser and shot one.
Oh, man. You want me to do that?
No, don't bother. I doubt you're going to hit one anyway.
Whoa, hey! I got one. Bring that cage over here.
Hang on to it. I'm coming.
Oh, man, this firefly is putting up a pretty good fight.
How did you catch it?
I just stopped, and it came buzzing over to check me out.
There, got it.
Whew, nice and bright.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I hope there aren't any other insects in this jungle that are sized so disproportionately, you know?
Did you notice the way those fireflies came gathering around Claudine? She's got a vibe. The animals and even insects find reassuring.
Yeah, not like you and me with our six shooters and machetes. Is that what you're saying, Mojo?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, this isn't a very big island, so I assume she won't get lost.
Have you noticed? Every firefly is gone.
Yeah, I guess they put the word out, huh?
Well, maybe they went with Claudine.
You mean followed her or led her somewhere?
Well, they like gathering around her, so if there's a bright spot somewhere, that may be where she is.
You're right. Captain Von Bonbon, are you there? It's Herr Flanders. Hello?
Herr Flanders.
Captain, we can't find Claudine. We think she's all right, but she may have wandered off with the fireflies.
Claudine is missing?
Yeah, they appear to be attracted to her. If they're hovering around her, you may be able to see a bright light down here in the jungle.
I understand.
Can you see anything from up there?
No. All the lights have vanished. No, wait. I do see one. Is that you?
Well, if it's not far from where we landed, that's us.
But you are saying one very bright light? Do you mean where hundreds of fireflies have conjugated in one place?
Yeah, that's right.
No, I see no light that is so bright.
Well, it was a thought.
No luck?
Nope.
Oh, man. Those bugs are gone like lightning.
Captain.
Herr Flanders.
If you do see some strange lights down here, let us know.
I will. Rest assured.
I don't think I'll be resting assured tonight.
What was that?
Nothing. That's all. We'll talk in the morning.
Captain!
Wait a moment. What's that?
What is this? A building
is filled
with a strange pulsing light.
Herr Flanders, the Contessa has called my attention to a building that is glowing with a strange light.
Lightning bugs?
Maybe they all left with Claudine. Captain, where is this building located?
Mr. Flanders, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Contessa.
The building is at the western tip of the city.
And it's all lit up?
The light in the window, they appear to be pulsating.
Sounds to me like our fireflies.
Contessa, you're saying the building is at the other end of the city, right?
You are near the eastern tip, yes?
Yeah, but there's no way that Claudine could have...
Wait, one moment, please.
Repeat what you said.
What's going on?
Mojo, I have no idea. There's no way Claudine could get across the city in such a short time.
Maybe they got a subway?
Yeah, if they did, it probably wouldn't be operating.
Mr. Fernandez?
Yes, Contessa?
One of the crew saw a light, bright cluster of lights moving across the jungle.
Within the last few minutes?
He said it was moving at rapid rate.
I see. Was it moving toward the western tip?
Yes, he said that was so.
Well, I guess we'll try to make our way there.
Mr. Flanders, please, do be careful.
We will.
Herr Flanders.
Yes, Captain.
Stay in contact, yes?
We will. Ciao. Oh, Mojo. I think this is going to be one hell of a long night.
Oh, yeah. Better believe it.
Watch for Pedro show. We just heard part 6 of Steam Dreamers of Inverness. Meatball Fulton, the mind behind the mind movie, there at State New York, ZBS Media. You can visit their site, zbs.org, and they got tons of good adventures for your brain to go trip around on.
I highly recommend. Highly recommend.
I like it.
Brother Meatball Foot. 40 years now. Yeah, I was a teenager and listened to KPFK late. You ever heard of the station? Pacifica station. Yeah. And because, you know, when I was... I remember when FM stations were coming on. Mm. They were kind of wild. Yeah. And then they all started falling off into Merchland. Because most people listened to AM in those days.
Yeah. Mm.
The FM was left alone. You could hear the sunflower seeds hitting the deck. Yeah. I mean, but and pretty soon the only station left was, you know, there was... And KPFK had, like, each show had its own world. It wasn't, you know. And this guy named, I think he still has a show, Roy of Hollywood, come on at midnight, and he'd play these Jack Flanders.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this chair always reminds me of it. There's one of them called Adventures of Jack Flanders. I think it's the third one. And, yeah, it comes in the mail when you sit in the chair. You get sucked up into another dimension with flying pirate ships and the Black Mona Lisa. Yeah, it's a trip. He finds out, well, I'm not going to spoil it, but...
Yeah, check the archives.
Jack usually kind of knows what's going on, but has to go through all this trip to figure it out for himself. And, you know, they're kind of self-exploratory things. Mm. And they're trippy.
They're fun radio to listen to, too.
A lot of them, they'll go to a place and get the ambient sound.
Yeah, it's neat.
Like Moon Over Morocco. They went to Morocco and they brought in the sound.
Yeah. That's where, it's really nice that they did that.
Yeah, trippy.
There's a few radio shows that kind of do that. The Prairie Home Guy does a bunch of those kind of news radio things.
Yeah?
Keeler. Well, yeah, he'll kind of build stories, you know, like where it's... Because from those, it's like they're just telling the story just on the audio, right? And, you know. They don't really do that as much anymore. It's kind of a lost little art, you know?
Yeah, oral tradition fading out.
Oh, well.
Fading out.
We got 3D TV
very quick
now.
Editing with the eyeballs.
We got 3D TV now.
You get sick to your stomach. I feel so manipulated when I'm watching these movies that are edited so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Chopping scene to scene to scene. It feels like there's like puppet strings on my hands and stuff. It's like, leave me alone. Let me look at these scenes.
Feeding the
ADD. It's getting freaky.
Yeah,
right
feeding
now.
The ADD.
Yeah.
Or maybe the MTV kind of influence. I don't know what it was.
A lot of,
but I feel real manipulated. I mean, obviously a movie is a director's vision, and there is a little, he wants to guide you through a thing, but man, that editing stuff really gets up. Maybe I'm a little crotchety. So, your buddy Jeff.
The band, I met my friend, this guy Jeff, his name is Jeff Rosenstock, and he's just a good buddy of mine from a long time ago, and we met on, and it's one of those, you know, chance meetings, and you just don't realize that they're going to be big influence later, but the first tour I ever did was Warped Tour in 03, and I was tabling, and I was not going to play music on that tour, and then this band from New York drove out to California, and their tour just fell apart on them, you know, all their gigs canceled and stuff, and they just looked at their... like whatever their schedule, and they're like, well, Work Tour starts in Idaho, you know, let's just go out that way. So they met up in Warped Tour, and we had driven the same distance. We were coming from San Jose with all this merchandise, and we're pushing and for Plea for Peace Foundation, and then Jeff was going out there to just try and hop on. So they snuck on to the tours every day, and they would just, you know, because when you're on a Warped Tour, I don't know if it's the same way, listeners, but like, if you're in a van, you can just kind of pull up, and security's local, so they don't know, you know, so they just say, oh, he's in a van, let him in, you know, and then it's up to, like, local security at the festival to figure it all out. So they totally took advantage of it. They're just like, no one knows, you know, and they'd get, like, passes, and there was this, like, little cuddy level of the Warped Tour, and so they would sneak on. So first day we're in Idaho, and these guys came up, and they were super nice, and they're from New York. My friend Jeff was one of them, and they just really friendly and forward. And they were like, "Oh, we'd be like super down to help with the nonprofit if you need to like us pass out flyers or whatever throughout the festival, because it's kind of like a, you know, a big operation there. You don't know who's your friend on the first day."
Sure, sure.
But then these guys ended up being, and they said, "Oh, you play trumpet? You know, like you should totally play trumpet for our band." They were a band called the Arrogant Sons of Bitches, and they're a ska punk band from Long Island. And I was kind of like, all right. And they had a horn. They had a horn with them. And so then I played horn with them on my breaks from the tour. So they'd go
play.
They
had a horn with no horn player.
Well, they had two. They had this guy, Dave, who was this big guy, played trombone. And then another cat who didn't even know how to play saxophone, but he was just there playing. And then they were doing it. And so then they would dip in and out of the tour, you know. And they finally got kicked off, and they were only booked on one show. They were booked on a Long Island show. But they snuck on for weeks. You know, this Warped Tour was like eight weeks long.
Yeah, yeah.
They must have hit 6 weeks of it. And they were living so...
Bum rush.
And Kevin, the old promoter guy, I remember, he was like, this is your last day of playing. Like, I'll put you on a stage, but you guys got to go home. You know, like... But, you know, Jeff is this great guy, and he does this band, and then I re-meet up with him later, and we kind of keep in touch as friends, because he was just such a nice guy, you know,
yeah.
And, like, he'd always, you know, email and stuff, and then he heard the band, and he just as friends, he said, I'll put out whatever, but then he really dug it. So he started a label called Quote Unquote Records back in, I can't remember when, but it was the first digital label that I knew of, where it was all on the website, and he gave away all the music for free. It was a donation-based site.
Yeah.
And it was before Radiohead was doing it, a lot of people. So he was kind of, in my mind, I'm sure other people are giving away music for free too, but he was pretty pioneer for it. And so he was giving out the records for free. You just get a little zip file on your thing, and it really helped us out quite a bit. And he's in now a band called Bomb the Music Industry, and a band called Cool. And they're great. They're a great band.
That's a good name.
Yeah, Bomb. And he's a great guy, and they tour quite a bit. And work, but he loves it. You know, he's the real deal. You know, it's like it's so nice to know someone who's like just living it. It's like he's a great guy. But
true believer.
True believer. Yeah, exactly. But he's kind of a telltale in the whole music story because he's just has been such a big help. You know, and I helped him get with the label he's on now, and then he's moving on. Your buddy systems. You know.
Brother Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you heard Chris, he said he had buddies that were DJs.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get your KXLU experience rolling?
I got there because, basically, I didn't want to keep stinking. Because I was working in the cannery after high school.
Yeah.
And
you know cannery, right?
Yeah.
So I was at Starkist working in the fish room, making like seven something an hour, like $250 a week, swing shift. I thought, man, this is killer. But after a couple of weeks, I couldn't wash off that stink.
No
matter how many showers.
I remember getting on a bus the first time with those dudes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, you can't get rid of this stink. And so I thought, man, I hope it's not too late to sign up for school. So I went, signed up at Harbor College.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to take or anything, but they had a radio station above the bookstore, so... I started hanging out there. Yeah, I started hanging out there and working at the radio station. And
yeah, but why?
Well, I started Ace Young at KMET, moved to Pedro, and I met him. I started going to KMET and helping with the surf report and rolling joints in the morning and making margaritas by 10 o'clock in the morning and twisted. I thought, man, I could do this. I could do this good. That's how I started doing it. I went to Harbor College and did it for a couple of years, and I took all the AA classes except for math. I didn't take any algebra. I got this award for being an outstanding staff member. I didn't feel like I knew anything, so I figured I'd go to college now. The next step, Loyola or K-Space in Claremont, they had the two coolest college radio stations run by students with some real wattage.
Yeah.
And I grew up at the beach. I wasn't about to go out to the smog. So I just cruised up to Loyola and started doing that. And I ended up getting a college degree in the process.
Do you remember when you went up to the station?
Yeah, I do.
What did you say? Can I have a show?
Took a little journey up with old Brian Foxworthy.
Oh, wow.
Because his dad was like the president or vice president of the school. So we went up there and took a little walk on the bluffs and burned one. And it's like, man, by the sea, bird nest.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this place is pretty sweet. And the station was cool. The people were kind of kooky around because they were all like Catholic school people, you know, really straight edge. So I kind of felt like, KXLU was a cool spot because I met people up there that were also misfits.
Yeah.
You know, didn't fit in with that Catholic school trip.
Sure.
After the Olympics, it started getting cooler. It attracted different people, but at that time, it was really straight-laced, and we were really the misfits up there. But yeah, that's how I ended up there.
And where'd you get the idea for the blues shift?
Bill Sullivan in Japan.
Yeah.
He was doing it, and he was moving on to KNAC, and he was up to all kinds of stuff, Body Glove and Surf Tour.
Yeah.
And so it was opened up, and I got to slide in there. And so that was really fun.
You relieved him of his command.
Yeah, yeah. He moved on, and I got to slide in. And then I started doing more live stuff and interviews, yeah. I think, because I could. You know, let's say, come on up. You know, I got this show. I'd see these guys playing on the boardwalk in Venice, drop a card in their hat, you know, if they were cool, have them come up. And some guys come up for an interview, and it's like, well, nobody's around. Why don't you bring your whole band and bring your stuff and just plug everything in down the hall? Yeah, it was great. When we first started doing it, it was in that room. I think it's the AM now. So the plane's taking off in LAX in the background. Every plane you can hear it taking off. There's people sitting in the window.
That's live radio. Yeah. Live.
Yeah.
It blew my mind, when I went to like another radio station, kind of a Mersch radio station.
Yeah.
It's not live. It blew my mind, you know. They chop it all up on the fly and they go for it, and it blew, because I was a KXLU guy. Like, you think, you know, you listen to it, you don't know, you know. K-er thing, speaking straight.
Yeah. Yeah, I ended up working at K-Earth for a while and K-Rock, and I had way more fun at KXLU. Got way more creative, got way more out of it, learned stuff, because you could do whatever. If you didn't know how to do it, you figured it out.
Yeah.
It's just,
you got a buddy on the air right now?
I'll call him, yeah. Yeah, he's on the air right now.
Yeah, so
my buddy Mark.
Let's get a KXLU connect right now.
Let's see if we can...
Wap from Pedro show.
Simulcast.
Let's see if he... sometimes they don't pick up there.
Yeah, I know that.
See if we can win something.
Yeah. Hey, how are you?
Mark.
Yeah.
It's Chris Candy.
Hey.
Yeah, you're on the Watt from Pedro show right now.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, my brother Matt and Mike said hello.
What's happening?
Hey, are you guys, am I really on the air right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the air.
We're talking about the old days of KXLU.
Malia James is the guest on my show today, and she says Mike Watt was her first interview on her web show, Dirty Laundry.
Dirty
Laundry, yeah.
She came here to the Love Grotto. They were sitting right where you are, Chris.
It's all coming together over here, huh?
The small world.
Kevin Bacon land.
Radio love.
Are we on the air right now?
No, we just took an air break. We're playing some music right now.
What are you guys playing?
Michael Bean. Michael Bean was a member of tribute to Michael Bean.
Okay.
Sounds good. Well, we'll let you get back to your show then.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Safe seas.
You guys got a good show over there. Grant says, hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. All right, guys. Bye.
Happy trails.
Better trip.
Call it up KXLU on the Watson TV show.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the hybrid.
Let's play some music, since they are.
Thank you.
have to take a technical break. It'll just be momentary out there, you folks in Radio Land. All right, we're on the radio right now. You're good, Josh? There's people out on the radio.
Just to understand all the hurt you want to make, I'll be your savior. If you don't believe, I'll be your savior.
statement I just made. Fade your mind into
what you think, they told you.
Watt from Pedro show. A bunch of music there. Little ones, though. We start off with the three tunes Chris here picked. By the way, I found out Chris from Toronto.
Yeah.
Respect. I get to play there this tour. Right after Ottawa. I do Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto.
That's
and then
right.
Towards the end of the tour, Vancouver. So I get four Canada gigs.
I like it.
Betcha. I remember my first Canada gig was with the Minutemen. It was Vancouver. And it was the first time Andy Boone played in Georgie, played in a foreign country.
Yeah, you don't realize.
It was the first time.
It doesn't look that different, but in
no, it doesn't.
Country.
But it was the first time, and for us it was pretty profound. That was a trip. And I've always had good gigs up there. So you picked three tunes. First, Kudrow with Commutilation. Sorry. I can't write my own scrawl. And then we heard Sailors by Lamp. And then finally, Fever by Dave Cloud and the Gospel of Power. And these are musics from your KXLU experience.
Yeah.
Then we heard some stuff that I picked. I picked a Brother Koja. There's an incredible bass player in Serbia. I got to meet. Came to the gig Stooges did. And turns out this cat goes way back to the early punk days when it was called Yugoslavia and stuff. And he's an incredible bass player and singer and really nice guy, man.
What's his name?
His name is Koja.
Koja.
Probably he has big slab name, but
yeah.
Actually, I think they say Koya because they don't say J's like us. Mm. They say like Y's or something. Mm. So Koya. Yeah, because if you remember in the old days, if you saw like Croatian spelling of Yugoslavia, it always started with a J.
Yeah.
Jugo lines. Of course, the Serb is using Cyrillic, so we didn't know what the fuck that was. Anyway, he has a song. This is the band he had before Disciplina Kichma, which is like a very famous band. It was called Sarlo Akrabata, and it was his first band. And this cat, he's been around, you know, and he's still in the ring. And his new music is very exciting. But this is from 1981, and it's called Sadse Jasno Vidi.
Mm.
And then we heard something from Italy, a band called Sigodi, with Drowning the Baffle Gab. Baffle Gab don't sound too Italian.
No.
There's two of these guys, man. I did Bought from Pedro show in their pad, a little town a little bit north of Florence, Florence.
Okay.
And so Tuscany. You looked out the window and it was like the backgrounds in the Renaissance.
Yeah, wow.
And they cook, of course, they cooked me a big chow while we're having the show, a 200-year-old kitchen, you know, this old pad. Oh, man. Bitching guys, it was
delicious.
Andrea and Jacopo. Jacopo and Andrea. Good cats. And then we heard Not Romantic by Disappears. Disappears is a new band. Steve Shelley from the Sonic Youth drum stick man position he's got. And then finally, another Italiano band, Squartet.
Mm.
You got to see this band. They actually played the Prospector.
Oh, really?
They came all the way from Italy. They got a guitar man named Manlio. Manlio, he's from Terracina, near Rome, but by the sea. So he lives in Rome a lot now. This cat, no strap. I don't have to wear a strap. You know, I'll have a chair there and put the leg up on it. He shreds on guitar, man. He wails.
They played Prospector.
They played the Prospector with Dose. You know, it was like, and I got to play with them in Italy a few gigs, you know, when I did my second opera five, six years ago. And this man, Manlio, he's got two bands, Squartet and Neo, and he can, and if his bandmen too could play bad. Anyway, that song was called The Sad Story of Bluebird. So that's all the music we got. In fact, we're running out of time here. It's been truly an honor to have you aboard, Chris.
Yeah, great having
you.
You
gotta have something, final words. Sorry, Brother Matt.
It was great having you down here.
Yeah, no, it's really a...
You must have some final thoughts, right?
Oh, of course. Always the final thoughts. But they're never final. They keep moving for this broadcast. Oh, no, it's a pleasure. I think it's great that you guys do this stuff. So, you know, the more stuff like this that people are getting involved in, I think the better off everyone will be, you know.
And ahead for you is some acting?
I got living the life. Commercial work here and there.
Okay.
Just keep the balance going in your mm-hmm. days. And
the music's in your life big time.
Yeah, it's the major one. So we work quite a bit to get ready for some releases we have coming up at the end of the...
You said Chato Ghetto is writing a bunch of material.
Yeah, we have two projects that we're trying to finish up simultaneously. A concept record that we're finishing up, 88 minutes of music, and then...
Wow.
And then our full buttload. Our first full length.
It's a double album.
Yeah, so we got the 88 concept called Monstrosity coming out.
hence the title. I'm curious. Can't wait.
Yeah.
And what's the other proj?
And then it's a full length. We finally got our buddy Asian Man Records, Mike Park's going to put out our full length. So we'll get ready for that. There'll be a big festival. He's doing his 15-year. Asian Man is doing their big 15-year. And we're playing...
San Jose?
At Frisco. We're playing Bottom of the Hill.
Bottom of the Hill. Yeah, great club.
So we'll be there.
Second to last gig of my tour is
there.
Yeah, oh, by the way, people, today my third opera came out.
Yeah. Oh,
but it pales in comparison to this news here, Monstrosity, and what's the name of the other title?
We haven't gotten it yet. Okay. We'll work on it. But Name in Progress. But yeah, we would love for you to grace us with a little bass on what's two of those 88 minutes, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fuck. Bitches. Yes.
All right.
No problem.
Perfect.
Chris Kennedy, thank you so much for being on the show. Brother Matt, you're always... Yeah. Aiden and Abetten Essential.
Aiden and Abetten.
It's been March 1st, 2011. Watt from Pedro Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry. Yeah.